Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and in Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Newsweek, Gatestone, and The Hill joins me because we are looking at Myanmar, Burma, a state in collapse since the coup of these last weeks. The coup has darkened the ability for people to look into Myanmar, Burma. So we welcome Michael Yan, who lives in Chiang Mai most of the time in northern Thailand, which has a border with Myanmar, and the activities over there come back and forth on the basis of refugees and normal commerce. I go to a news report in these last hours from the BNI Multimedia Group. Burma Army launched airstrikes on several towns amid heightened tensions between the military and civilian resistance group in northern Burma. According to locals, the Tat Ma Da, as it's called locally, that would be the Burmese army, dropped bombs on Katha, on Saigaing region, and Shwegu, located in Kachin State. It goes on to explain the bombs landed near Mayanu Tao Ya and Duraramani Buddhist monasteries, but there was no one wounded during the airstrikes. People ran into the jungle and were already hiding when the fighter arrived. This is a local correspondent responding. Katha People's Defense Forces, PDF, fought with the Burma Army in Katha Township. Gordon, this looks like a war, is it? We're describing something that resembles one state attacking another state.
Yes, John, it does look like a war. It's been going on for a very long time, sporadically. But you have the Burmese central government, now the junta, which has been in, what now, 4 months, one day after the coup, you know, is now we've seen the distress, unrest and disorder spreading across the entire country.
Michael, your family is in Chiang Mai, and they're not that far from the border with Burma. You've told me, you've educated me that Kachin people and Karen people come back and forth across the border. Does Chiang Mai hear of this, these airstrikes and this attack on near a monastery?
Right. Keep in mind, Chiang Mai city, the city of Chiang Mai is the capital of Chiang Mai province, so sort of like New York, New York. And so Chiang Mai city is actually far back, 2 or 3 hours from the border, depending on how fast you drive through the mountains. And there's constantly people from Burma in Chiang Mai. They live there long term, and a lot of that's from previous conflict and also just the normal osmotic pressure cross border type stuff. And right now, the Thais are talking more about actually the virus, the CCP virus. So that's more of their concern in the city of Chiang Mai. Now, when you go push out to the border areas, that's different. There's a lot of people, refugees coming right over the border. There's attacks happening, bombings that you've already mentioned earlier. China's got some of their drones out there, the CH-3A drones, which are arms drones, which can launch laser-fired missiles. Those have been seen in the skies. I don't know if they're actually firing missiles from those drones, but we know that there's Russians are pumping significant equipment into the government there. And so we've got basically the trio of despots there fighting against the Karen people. One of the advantages, especially that the Karen people have, is many people overseas, Americans, especially Czech people as well, They love the Korean people. So they've got a huge support base, for instance, in the United States and in the Czech Republic. And also they've got the advantage of that huge border with, jungle border with Thailand and, the mountains and the jungles. So the favor of terrain and borders goes to the Korean and the Kechen and some of the other fighting groups. And also they've got a lot of international support. This is unlike Hong Kong. Hong Kong's got some advantages in so far as they've got a lot of international support, but they don't have any terrain advantages and they don't have any resource advantages. But over in Myanmar, a lot of those advantages go straight to the guerrillas.
Michael mentions Russia. We have reports from winter of this year, February, that Russia supported the Myanmar military, making the Chinese representatives anxious at the time. The coup was on February 1st, and this is a dateline mid-February. So Michael's mention of Russia, Gordon, is a surprise to me. But then again, the Burmese military is hiring outside sources. How to relate this, Gordon, to China? China much in the news. Does China have an advantage here? What is in it for China, Gordon?
Well, China certainly will be backing the junta because they believe that they're going to be winning in the long term. And so, you know, China, of course, has an interest in any country which is borders on China. And the one thing that Michael talks about, which is always fascinates me, is that this area, you don't have central governments having much control. You don't have the Burmese government, the Thai government, or even the Chinese government able to control those borders. So you have a lot of people going back and forth. And I think that unnerves Beijing a little bit, that they don't have the same sort of ability to dictate events in this area as they do in other parts of China.
A puzzle here, Michael. 1 week ahead of the coup, this report dates back in the Moscow Times in February. 1 week ahead of the coup, Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu visited Myanmar to finalize a deal on the fresh supply of surface-to-air missile systems, surveillance drones, and radar equipment. This is according to a report from Japan, Nikkei. Russia also signed a flight safety agreement with General Ming, who has reportedly visited Russia six times in the past decade. Michael, this is a lot of coincidence. Do you see Russian military or Russian representatives in Thailand, in the border region, in Bangkok? Are the Russians active there as well as Myanmar?
Now, I've never seen them myself in any identifiable form. But keep in mind, if there's any, you know, a place where every foreigner in the world can kind of fade into the background noise, that's Thailand. And so Thailand has long been known as sort of a zona franca, almost like a Berlin of Asia, so the whole country, because there's so many tourists there of so many sorts that, I mean, you could have military spies and advisors out there from top to bottom, and nobody would notice as long as they wear Bermuda shorts. So, no, I haven't seen any that are obvious.
Gordon, again, we can understand the Chinese connection because it's their part of the world. But Russia, Gordon, Russia and China working together in a puzzling fashion here. Does this make sense to you, why Russia would want to get involved in a coup by a military that we have reason to believe favors China? Does that make sense, Gordon?
You know, it almost doesn't, John, because this is an area where, you know, China has the predominant forces and a lot of sway in all of these capitals. But it sort of highlights for me that Moscow and Beijing still compete across a broad swath of territory, not just Central Asia, where we normally think about, but even in places which you would normally consider to be China's backyard, which certainly Burma would be. So, I'm a little bit surprised that the Russians are indeed that active.
And what is in it for Russia, Gordon? Cash? Is that, I mean, we're speculating here, but Russia's much in the news for another crisis in another part of Eurasia. That would be Belarus. I don't believe Myanmar is getting any attention. I certainly didn't even read it mentioned at the most recent NATO meeting, where there was much attention to Afghanistan, to Ukraine, to Belarus, but not Myanmar. So what are the Russians there for? Just cash deal, Gordon?
Well, I think that, first of all, Russia is very serious about arms sales. And so, as we just heard about, the Russian defense minister there, even for a small sale to Burma, the Russian defense minister will come down. But the other thing, of course, is that they just want to compete with China, you know, make sure that China doesn't feel comfortable in its own backyard, and to remind the Chinese that Russia is still a force to be reckoned with and that Beijing does need Russia's cooperation across the board. So it makes sense for what Russia is doing. But I am a little bit surprised that they are there in, you know, such force, the Russians.
Michael, the Karen state, the Kachin state being attacked, is that a separate group entirely from the Burma, from Myanmar? Is that why they're being attacked by airstrikes? We have about 30 seconds, Michael.
They're within the same borders, but they're as different as, say, Navajo and Comanche. I mean, all these different groups out there are very different. They have their own languages and cultures and areas, and then they fight each other at times as well. So there's the ethnic groups within Myanmar have been at war with each other and with the main government for, you know, this goes back to getting close to 70 years. And so, again, as we've talked about before, this will continue. This is not the end of conflict in that region. That's just what they do. It's like Afghanistan.
The fighter jets flew over the area three times, goes the report, dropping bombs. This is from the Burma's army attacking Burma. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Michael Yan, war correspondent. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and in Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be real.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.